Blog Talk Radio.
Together, O nation, I desire. Before the decree, go forth and y'all bring in his fire. Seek Yahweh, seek meekness. Walk in humility, not weakness. God's teaching, this is ways to be higher. Learning truth, no more subject to the liars. Submit to Yah, the only way he'll unite us. Yah's way is holy, true judgment, and he righteous. We can't front on Yah, not even in the slightest. Sons will be loud, be faking like they like us. But Yah gave us all to our heart's desires. He'll cut you off for spreading hate like a virus. So turn to Yah, he is torn as he will bind us. He is smited and he will heal us. After 2 days, yeah, he will revive us. In the third day, in his sight, we will rise up. Let's go.
Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. Yah is life. Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. Yah is life.
Gather together, O nation, I desire. Before the decree, go forth and Yah bring in his fire. Seek Yahweh, seek meekness, do his judgments, walk in righteousness. Learn Yah's path, he will lighten it. While we fighting this, we the same blood, have the same Ema and the same Abba. We all a slave, live the same drama. My people, we be true brethren. 400 years, have we learned our lesson? How good and pleasant if we dwell together. Yeah, two is better, three is hardly broken, and millions live forever. The enemy wanna cut us off to be a nation, never. But the shackles are severed. Soon we'll be one nation with one king, one law, all serving one Elohim.
Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. Yah is life. Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. Yah is life.
Gather together, O nation, I desire. Gather together, let's gather together. Come on. Gather together, O nation, I desire. Gather together, let's gather together, let's go. Gather together, O nation, not desire. Gather together, let's gather together, come on. Gather together, O nation, not desire. Gather together, let's gather together, let's go.
Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. Yah is life. Gather your saints together.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet, and our beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of Blog Talk. There's no doubt in my mind that the only reason you are tuning in this night, it is because of your fear towards Elohim. Again, I bid you shalom. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael, out of the house of Israel, bringing to you another program of nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. that all you're going to get is the truth. However, for some strange reason, if what I'm saying is suspicious, well, you might disagree with it. It's okay. Just give me a call and we will discuss it. 919-931-6216. This is my number. Tonight we have another beautiful program prepared for you. A lot of things is happening. Oh, a lot of things is happening in the earth today. And time will speed up. For there are many things that's going on that will indicate that the world is very busy. So busy that time will begin to speed up in your mind. And a lot of the things that will be going on won't be pleasant, pleasing to the eyes. But these things, although we should acknowledge, but these things are only to sidetrack you from what's most important. And that's what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to discuss. What is most important about you and I, and about the Most High, and about our existence? What is it that the Creator wants us to concern ourselves with? Is it to know what the other nations are doing? Is it to concern ourselves with money, as many of our people are doing today? What should we concern ourselves with? Well, let me show you a couple scriptures. That will help you get your life together and help you to concern yourself with the most important thing that you can do. One of these scriptures is in the book of 1 Kings. Of course, many people will say the law. And that will be a good answer. Now, this is the thing about the law. Oftentimes, people will ask about the law, but then, when it's time to execute the law, most people really never understood the law that they asked for. I hear many people talk about keeping the law, many people quoting the law, but you don't see a lot of people keeping the law. And I'll show you why most people don't keep the law. And I said 1 Kings 4, but go to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. I want to go there first. In the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 12th verse, and this is what it says. Then Solomon spoke, Yah said he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, Blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be king over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of Yah, the Elohim of Israel. But Yah said to my father, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come forth from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So Yah has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel as Yah promised. And I have built a temple for the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of Yah, which he made with our fathers when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of Yah in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your heart or with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Yah Elohim of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O Elohim of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, much less this temple which I built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Yah my Elohim, and listen to the cry of prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, and that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards you in this place. And of course, this was the prayer or part of the prayer of Solomon. Solomon knew that this temple was the heart and the imagination and the brainstorm of his father David. And he came to fulfill through the blessings of the Most High this mission. And after Solomon prayed, this is Yah's response to the prayer of David. And I'm curious to know have you really paid close attention to Yah's response? And you'll read Yah's response in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. And this is what it says in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. I'm going to start reading we'll start at the first verse. Just want you to see this. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of Yah and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that Yah appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And Yah said to him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I've consecrated the house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in the integrity of your heart and in the uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I set before you, but go and serve other deities and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passed by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has Yah done thus to the land and to the house, to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook Yah their Elohim, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other deities, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore, Yah has brought all this calamity on them. And what most people don't realize about this prayer that Solomon built for the name of Yah, and not only built for the name of Yah, but Solomon dedicated this house to the Most High. And everything that Yah had told us, everything that Yah said concerning us, concerning this house, have come to pass. And it was simple. He heard Solomon's prayers. He heard his supplication about this house. And all the Almighty wanted Solomon to do, and everyone after him, is to serve him in sincerity. Serve him with a perfect heart. Because you can't serve Yah fully and wholly without serving him with a perfect heart. As a matter of fact, this is a commandment. Now, why is this important to you and I? And what is the most important thing that we should be concerning ourselves with this situation? Well, let me show you a law that the Creator gave his people in the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. And this is a law. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, because this is what Solomon had to do. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, and this is what it says in the 5th verse. Then the officers, and this was when we go to war against our people, or before we go to war against our people, this is what the officers were supposed to do. Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? What man is it? In other words, it sounds like to me that the Israelites had to dedicate their house. And what does it mean to dedicate your house? And let's keep reading this, though. What man is there who have built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to a house, lest he die in a battle, and another man dedicated. Well, isn't this what Solomon did? Did not Solomon dedicate Yah's house? And it looks like we are supposed to dedicate our house. And what type of dedication are we to have in dedicating our house? Or what does it mean to dedicate our house? And is this the law? Well, first, let's see what it means so we can understand what it's saying. Well, the word dedicate comes from the Hebrew word kanuk. And you know what that means? It means to discipline, initiate, to train up. You might ask yourself, well, how do you do that? Well, you consecrate your house in righteousness. This is why there are certain things that every Israelite and every person who lived in our land and sojourned in our land that was a stranger and lived amongst us and kept our laws had to do. And what is it that these Israelites did to dedicate the house? Undoubtedly, it was possible that they had a house, built it, and still had not dedicated. And anytime you dedicate something, such as our people did when they dedicated something to Yah, it was something that they gave to Him. It was something they offered to Him. But our people, when they dedicated their house, what they were dedicating their house to be and to do was to righteousness. And I want you to see this. Show you something. In the book of Proverbs, show you how important this is. In the book of Proverbs, in the 8th chapter, I'll make that the 9th chapter of Proverbs. Just want you to see this so you can understand where I'm from. And what are we discussing? The most important thing that an Israelite can concern himself with today. In the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter, this is what it says in the very first verse. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. Now, what is it? What is so important for wisdom, who we know as a spirit, has built her house? Well, if you know anything about a house, you should know that's the first thing that Yah will have a man to do. And that is to build his house. Why do you think David had it in his heart to build Yah a house? David said, how can I dwell in cedars and Yah dwell in a tent? Even wisdom built her house and her seven pillars. And who can build a house without dedicating it but the wicked? And let me show you, only the wicked will do such a thing. Watch this. In the book of Psalm 127, I want you to see how important this is so you can understand the most important thing that you should be concerning yourself with today. In the book of Psalm 127, the very first verse, look what it says. Unless Yah builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless Yah guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, I don't care what you build, unless Yah build it, it's built in vain. But why is it talking about a house? And most people don't realize is a house is not just a building. It is a building, but it's more than a building. That's why the scripture said, who has built a new house and have not dedicated? Because surely y'all dedicated this thing. But if you have not dedicated, go back and dedicate this thing, unless another man get it and dedicate it. And how do you dedicate this house? Well, there's only one way to dedicate the house for Yah to build, and that is in righteousness. And today, we're trying to build careers. We're trying to build our bank accounts. We're trying to build all other kind of things But for some strange reason, we're not building Yah's house. Or we're not building our house through Yah. And there are certain things that a man will learn to do to build his house and dedicate it so that this house is protected and nourished and built, not in vain. And let me show you a couple things that a man would do. One of the first things he would do in building a house is in the book of Deuteronomy also. Turn there again in the book of Deuteronomy. The sixth chapter. And watch what this says in the fourth verse. Hear, O Yisrael, Yah our Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, what this is telling me is that all through your house, on the outside of your house, on your gates, when you're walking around your house, before you lie down, before you rise up, all through your house, it shows that you have dedicated this house, because all you will be doing is exalting the one who made righteousness, the one who gave you righteousness. And it is the very thing that you dedicate it to. The one who is righteous. And we can concern ourselves with anything we desire. But if you do not learn how to concern yourself with house building, with building a house, everything else you will do will be in vain. and ask yourself, who have built the new house and have not dedicated? I want to meet this person. I want to see this man who has not dedicated his house. For we need to know who this is. Surely you have dedicated your house. Look what else a man is supposed to do in dedicating his house. Now imagine this is accomplished. Watch what it says. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and watch what this says in the 8th verse. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, your Elohim. In it you shall do no work therein. Then it says, you, your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. Whose gates? Your gates, where you live, and where do you live? In your house, on your property, things that are in your possession. In other words, how can your house be dedicated and you not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? You just gonna work through the Sabbath in your house? Is that what you're gonna do? Not if you dedicated your house, because the only type of dedication that you can do if the dedicated in righteousness. And today we don't concern ourselves with this righteous endeavor. And then we worry about, and then we cry about why our houses are in shambles today. Why we can't maintain any type of order. That's because we hadn't learned to dedicate our house. And all over the scriptures, whether our people dwelt in a tent, a house, a barn, a tabernacle, a shed, no matter what it was, it meant something. But what does it mean to you today? In the book of Proverbs, going back to the book of Proverbs, I just want you to see this. And I'm in the book of Proverbs. The very first verse, Proverbs 14. And watch what this says. 14:1. The wise woman builds her house. And why do a wise woman build her house? Because if you dedicate your house, you will know there's only one way to build a house. And that is through wisdom. The Almighty asked Solomon, he said, look, what would you have asked me of? What do you want me to give you? And you know what Solomon asked for? Solomon asked for wisdom, that he might be able to judge this great people of Yah. And the man and the woman don't realize they make a lot of decisions. These decisions are judgments. So it takes a wise woman to build a house because she got to make a lot of decisions. But the foolish pulls it down with her hand. Why? Because she never asked for the wisdom to even build. And the only way you can build is through wisdom. And here it is, the most important things we should be concerning ourselves with, and that is our houses. Instead, we are forsaking our house. And the first thing we're doing to forsake it is not dedicating it. Why aren't we dedicating our houses to Yah? Maybe it's because we're not interested in righteousness. The law should be spoke all through the day in our house. It should be written on our doorposts and our gates. And it should be dedicated for that purpose. But ask yourself, what man is it that have not dedicated this? If you still don't realize how important this thing is, since we're in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, show you what this says. In the book of Exodus 20, the 17th verse, this is what it says. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. Well, I thought the most important thing about your neighbor is his wife. Why is it saying thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house? And then it says thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. So why is it the very first thing that is mentioned is your neighbor's house? And what is so important about your neighbor's house that it will mention that before the wife? Is the house more important than the wife? Well, it's not that the house is more important than the wife, but the house is the first thing a man should concern himself with getting. It's the house. And how, what sense does it make to go get a wife, build a family, and you don't have nothing even dedicated? You don't have nothing to build from. No, you go get a house. You go get something that belongs to the man. And before your wife and children and everybody come in, you have something already. You have took the time to dedicate it in righteousness. And so when they walk through those doors, they walk in through the gates of righteousness. And if we just be honest and tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, oftentimes our women are walking through the gates of hell. No wonder the divorce rate in our community is greater than any community. This is a very important step. So important that the Creator said, unless y'all build a house, they that labor in vain. And this is how Yah builds a house. He builds a house in order. He builds a house in righteousness. He builds a house in the right way. And this is the thing that we have to learn. We have to learn the right way. The house should not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his son, nor his daughter, nor his manservant, maidservant, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. But let's start at this house. And is it too late to dedicate your house? No, it's never too late. Well, let me take that back. For some, it is too late. For the scripture says, ye that wandereth out of the way of understanding. Let me repeat that. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And what do that mean? That means when you have people who clearly understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and they're keeping the Sabbath, and they're celebrating the Sabbath, and these same individuals will turn around and tell you, you can't keep the Sabbath. This is an evil to the Most High. This person has now wandered out of the way of understanding. Or the individual that says we are Israel and there is no Elohim besides Yah, for he is the Holy One of Israel. Then they allow somebody to trick them, and now they're not Israel. Now they some Egyptian or someone else. Now there's many deities. This person, this thing has wandered out of the way of understanding. And no matter what you say, and no matter what you do, they shall remain in the congregation of the dead. We're speaking about the individuals who understood clearly that we're under the covenant of Yah. And that we are and were and supposed to keep his Ten Commandments. And now they will tell you today, after keeping Yah's commandments, that we can't do the law until we get home. Can't keep no laws here in captivity. We can't keep no holy days and no laws and none of that. Well, I thought that's what you used to do. Yeah, I learned better. We can't do that here. Well, he that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Those are not my words. That's scripture. So once again, ask yourself, who have dedicated or built a new house and have not dedicated? Did it say you needed a priest? Did it say you needed some oil poured on the house? Did it say you needed a special prayer that has to be said? Every man know whether he dedicated this house or not. And not only do every man know, but Yah know. And what is this dedication? It's righteousness. And we demonstrate every time we go in and out of our house whether righteousness is coming in and out of it. And I'm going to show you a scripture that will determine whether righteousness is coming in and righteousness is going out. But before I show you that scripture, we have some of our brothers and sisters that's listening on the line. And if you guys have any questions or comments at all, give me a call, 347-838-8963. And press the number 1 on your phone. Well, let me go to my beautiful brother here, 661 area code. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. I've got you on the air. 661. Okay, I'll come back to you. And I think that's my beautiful brother, Brian. I think that's his name. I'm not sure. But I'll come back to you. I see the question mark up. If you don't want to say nothing, just hit your number 1 again, and a question mark will lead out. Now, how do you know this righteousness is coming in and out of your house? Well, this is not difficult to see. And let me show you. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Isaiah 51. What is the most important thing that you should be concerning yourself with? Getting money? Getting a job? Getting an education? Should you be networking with other people and trying to deal? Should you be a part of politics, the Black Lives Matter movement? Should you be trying to stop Donald Trump by writing letters to the White House? What should you be concerning yourself with? Should you just ignore the laws of the Most High, lock yourself in a house and just hide until evil pass you over? What should you be doing? Well, let me show you exactly what you should be doing. In the book of Isaiah 51, this is what it says. Listen to me, first verse. You who follow after righteousness. So that's going to narrow the things down. Because if you're not following after righteousness, then this is not for you. You who seek Yah, look to the rock from which you were hewn. And I wonder, what rock did we come out of? Come from under. And to the hole of the pig from which you were dug. And then, see, anytime there's a metaphor in the scriptures, the Almighty explains the metaphor. And oftentimes, most people still don't understand it. Then it says, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. And so when I turn the pages to look at the rock from which I was hewn, and then I look at Abraham, and I looked at Sarah, this is what I find in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. I'm going to look under this rock, and I'm going to see what I can find. Since I'm interested in following after righteousness. And this is what it says. In Genesis, the 18th chapter. And I'm going to start reading let's see, we're going to start reading verse 17. And Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? And what are you doing, Yah? That you hiding this thing from Abraham. What are you doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. See, that's what Yah's doing. For I know him, that in order that he may command his children and his what? His household after him, that they will keep the way of Yah to do righteousness and justice, that Yah may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And what did he speak to Abraham? Did not he say, I will bless him and bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him, and in him shall all the families of the earth be blessed? And how do you expect to be blessed? By dedicating your house and cussing your wife? That's not dedicating your house. You done dedicated your house and now you're cussing out your wife? That's not dedication, because that's not even righteousness. Is dedicating your house by raising up the children to hate you? That's not dedication. Is dedication when your wife get mad at you and she start hollering at you and you put your hands on her? That's not dedication. Is it dedication when you go to work all day, bring your money home, and take it back out and gamble it all the way, all out, or smoke it all out, or drink it all out? That's not dedication. The only type of dedication that's acceptable to Yah is the dedication of righteousness. Who have built a new house and have not dedicated it? Who else can you dedicate this thing to?
And if it's dedicated, then why don't we see righteousness prevailing in it?
Going to my beautiful elder in the 248 area code. Shalom, elder.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Hooray.
Shalom.
I'd like to first and foremost give honor. Yes, I'd like to first and foremost give praise and honor to the Most High of Yisrael. And my praise the mighty God. My thing is, I'm trying to figure out or understand Yah's calendar. I know it's not off the subject of what you were talking about. And is this a jubilee year?
Well, it's hard to tell whether it is or not. There's a lot of research that has to happen in order for us to understand whether it's the jubilee year or not. Because we will have to know, of course, as you know, Elder, the jubilee year is the 50th year. And so we don't know if it's every 50 years. We don't know if it's the 50th year or put it like this. This is what we do know. It is a great possibility that we're in the 49th year going into the 50th year. That's more possible. But I can't say for 100%.
Right. Now,
in all honesty, tell you it's a possibility, a great possibility, that we're going into a jubilee year. Now, I think in the
right.
Jewish world, they might say they in a jubilee, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not for sure about that. But it is possible that we're going into a year of jubilee. So, for instance, this year, this will be a year, if it was the 49th year, that we will blow the horn of jubilee. And that's a great possibility.
Right.
Great possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not,
right.
you very in the ballpark just by thinking and considering that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the 50 years, they say they're breaking those down into, it goes back to the Jews. And they said certain things happened, say, for instance, in 1917. Well, prior to that, I guess it was 1893, whatever, 50 years from 1917. I guess when they went into the land the first time, I think when the British kicked the Babylonians out of there. The Turks out of there.
Mm-hmm.
50 years from that point, I think went to 1917. And then that's when the Balfour Declaration, World War One, when I guess the Jews made a covenant with the British that they would get the United States involved in World War One if they give them the land of Israel. So in 50 years from there, from 1917, it was 1948. And then that's when the British, when the Jews went into Israel and they had a fight and everything. And then 50 years from that was 1967. That was another war. They supposedly took Jerusalem back from the Arabs. And here we are 50 years later, And here we are 50 years later. This is 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So that's based, I guess, based on the heathen's calendar.
Yeah. And there's a course. Go ahead, Elder.
Yes.
Yeah, no, go ahead and finish, and then I'll comment.
Okay. And based on that, you know, the most, like you said, the most highest number is 7.
Yes.
So once 70, so supposedly 70 years, it's over. This is the last one. There's no more jubilees after this one. And that's why,
all right,
one reason I asked you, that's why I asked you in that text message the other day. There's a Daniel's 70 weeks. Is he talking about now?
Right.
Because
so,
that Babylon was never destroyed. And my belief is that this is a continuation, huh?
Right. Well, no, the 70 weeks that is speaking of in the book of Daniel is not talking about the destruction of Babylon, but that 70 weeks was really 70 years, and it was talking about the reconciliation of our people to finish the end of sins at that time when the Almighty said our people will be restored and the temple will be rebuilt. And, of course, it was. It was done during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra.
Right.
Little do most people, and I don't have time to teach it tonight, but what I will do, I will show you how instrumental that time was and all the various prophets that covered that time period. And all the various prophets that covered that time period all talked about this 70 years, and it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. Now, today, in today's time, when you talk about the Jubilee just means 50 years, and it is the year of Jubilee, and the Jubilee is very relevant because just like the 7 years is very relevant, the Jubilee is very relevant. It's difficult for us to know when the 7 year is, but it is a little bit difficult for us to know when the Jubilee is, because the Jubilee, you will have to know, see, you can have, for instance, we can know we're 49 years down or 49 years in captivity. But though that 49 years coincide with what we know of as the 49 years in the scripture. And it's really hard to say, but what I'm doing as we speak, I'm studying that, as you know, and I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to take real. And let me say this, Elder, somebody else asked me the same exact question that you're asking me now, and I told them the same thing. So we're definitely going to, the Almighty will definitely reveal it to us because it's on too many of our minds. And so we're going to know when this Jubilee is. But no, the 70 weeks is something a little bit different that I will bring to the people and show the people not only how that was fulfilled, but all the players that played a part in that 70 years.
And most people will be amazed, all the players that played a part. But let me tell you, as you know this, Elder, this was for the other people. Let me tell you who didn't play a part in the 70 years. Christ. He never played a part in these 70 years. Although many Christians believe, and Israelites believe, he had something to do in these 70 years was a prophecy of 490 years later. And even if it counts 490 years later, that wasn't the end of sins. The temple was not rebuilt 490 years later, and he never sat on the throne 490 years later. All the things the prophecy said would be done, none of those things he fulfilled, not even one of them. And so I just wanted to make that point, but we will deal with that, and I will deal with this whole, that whole chapter, chapter 9 in the book of Daniel. We'll deal with that whole because, also, we'll be bringing out some real good things about the calendar of the Most High. Because without knowing this calendar, how else will we know time?
That's right.
Time is essential to know. And for some reason, our people think it's blasphemous not to know time. And look here, many of our people who exclusively go by the light of the moon. And, of course, the moon, the Creator said, this is a light by night. Typically speaking, our people be asleep at night. But nevertheless, this light by night that our people exclusively go by. They don't go by anything else, but this exclusive thing, light by night, which is very same thing the Jewish people go by, and this is why the Jewish people believe a day start in the night, because that's when they enter count. So consequently, our people do the same thing that the Jewish people are doing. And the Almighty said he was going to destroy these people and annihilate them. And he said there's no understanding in them. And let me tell all the listening audience right now, and y'all come prepared and ready. And you too, Elder, because next week I'm going to deal with who is Esau. Who is Esau? Is Esau a European convert? Is Esau a black man, as many of our people teach? Who is Esau? Who is this man that the scripture is speaking of? And can we recognize him today? So that's what we're going to be dealing with next Friday evening. Who is Esau? But tonight I definitely wanted to make sure our people know that if you took the time to dedicate your house as the Almighty wanted our people to do, the only thing that will be coming from it is righteousness. And our people have learned to dedicate their house. And this is very, very important. So important, it was our law. The question said, who has built a new house and have not dedicated it? And so that's the very first thing we should have learned to do. And once we learn to do that, then everything else will fall in order. But because we hadn't done it, now our families are in shambles because we never learned how to dedicate our house. First thing the Almighty said about a house, he says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. So what's so important about the house that the Almighty will put that before everything else? What a man. And so there's just things we got to learn, and we're going to learn them together, Elder.
Right. You know, speaking of that house, dedicating the house, we've been in this captivity so long, we get everybody feels that we're at the end, so we don't want to dedicate a house, now we're getting ready to go.
Right.
Yeah, and they don't realize a house is not right. a house is not just a building. A house is
right.
more than just a building. It's more than just
mm-hmm.
a tent. It's more than just
mm-hmm.
a dwelling. It's more than that. It is that, but it's more than
mm-hmm.
just that. And this is what
mm-hmm.
what we got. But you're absolutely right. That's why the Almighty
mm-hmm.
don't allow. He never allowed the prophets to tell our people certain things because he knew what our people would do. Just imagine, Elder, if the Almighty would have allowed Israel, the nation of Israel, to see his similitude, to see his form. You know what they would have did after they seen his form, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would start building statues. And building little pictures of him, and they'd have and worshipped it. They'd have been building silvers and gold Yahwehs. No, the Almighty
mm-hmm.
not to allow the wicked to do that. So only people who've seen Yah are individuals that was faithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
Only prophets that seen Yah in the visions were people that were faithful, that he knew
mm-hmm.
would not do what people would do. Because he know
mm-hmm.
what the people would do. Their imagination is only evil. And like now, the Almighty is not about to tell a bunch of wicked people, look, y'all about to go home. I'm about to save y'all because he know what they would do. They would,
mm-hmm.
in other words, they would do nothing. They wouldn't care about nothing. It would be chaos in
mm-hmm.
the world because they would just tear up and just it'd be totally chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So he tell the righteous, because he know what the righteous will do. They will prepare. They will prepare, and they will wait on Yah. But not so
mm-hmm.
the wicked would even believe it, first of all. And then when they
mm-hmm.
see it, they would just, you know, act wild. So now the Almighty, he know who to tell and who to reveal things to and who to let know what's going on, because the wicked, they're not going to, their imaginations are only evil. It's only evil. So, yeah, so you're right. You're absolutely right that people, they ain't about to dedicate nothing because, we're about to go and we're about to this and we're about to that. So, you're right. You're right, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
I can see a bunch of men say, hey, man, well, I'm going to get a job. When we about to go home, man, I'm not about to go work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to educate myself when I'm about to just leave. I'm not about to do this and do that. Yeah, I can see it. You're right. You're absolutely right, Elder. And I love
mm-hmm.
you and I appreciate you.
All right,
and
we're going
to talk about this, Daniel, okay, in detail.
Yes, sir. Shut
up. All right. Shalom, shalom.
Praise somebody. Shalom, shalom.
Praise somebody, God. And that was good. That was a good call, Elder Ephraim, out there in Texas. Praise the Mighty Yah. And our program is we're running out of time. I appreciate you all. I pray that you will begin on how to dedicate your house. Dedicated to Yah, dedicated in righteousness. And why? Because unless Yah build a house, they that labor in vain that build it. And until next week, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.